Did Elon Musk just have a change of heart?
Well, I have no respect for the warmongers and the war profiteers and those who want the war to continue forever for their own purposes. This is, in my view, an evil thing.
Let's look at this video here. Amazing. He's talking about some things that... Is he talking about Gaza?
That's really what it comes down to. There are those who like to have the appearance of empathy, but they don't have the reality of empathy. Those who are pro-war, they have the appearance of empathy. They're hypocrites.
What's happening here? Did Elon actually have a change of heart? Let's have a look.
They're hypocrites and liars. If you want the reality of empathy, we must stop the senseless everyday death that lasts forever. That's what true empathy is.
And this has actually helped. It was a catalyst for my next guest to be on the show because it led him to where he's at today. And we're going to discuss this. Let's get into this video. Did Elon Musk just have a change of heart? Let's have a look.
Come on, I have no respect for the warmongers and the war profiteers. And
seems like
the war to continue forever for their own purposes.
He wants the bombs and stuff dropping on the kids in Gaza, I think.
That we send these poor kids into the meat grinder every day for nothing. With no end in sight. Forever.
We got to have peace in Gaza.
Inhumane and senseless. So... President Trump is right. There must be peace, and it's time for the slaughter.
Talking about Gaza, right?
Slaughter of the young men and old men.
Come on, man. I'm being optimistic. Hold on.
Senseless death machine. That's really what it comes down to. There are those who like.
He's talking about against war.
Yeah, you hear how he says we want the war to stop. We don't support peace.
Those who are pro-war,
they have the appearance
of empathy.
Then why is he working so closely with?
And liars.
You know, the
president
of the
United
States.
Of empathy,
I'm thinking they had a change of heart or something. Hold on, this video is something new.
That's what true empathy is. We should care about those men who...
Oh, he's talking about Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Oh, the hypocrisy kicks in.
We didn't want to be there. They're conscripted.
Oh, man.
They're forced to be there.
You caught it before I did. How you doing?
Ukraine conscripted Russia.
How are you, brother?
So I was beginning. So, alhamdulillah, I'm good. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, of course he's going to... Everyone, they'll talk about Ukraine, like, this is horrible, we got to stop the war. People will talk about it in a general term. They'll say, we need to stop war, we don't like this and that. But they're the ones who promote this on the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. They'll say, we don't support war, we don't support killing. And you think they're talking about Gaza, but they're not. They're talking about Ukraine because they don't want the paychecks to stop.
That's what shocked me. I saw this, and I was like, what? I mean, is this... Because he's talking some really powerful good points. He's talking about, you know, the kids. He's talking about, you know, people, the warmongers. And I'm like, hold on, all right, look what's happening right now. We're like funding a modern day genocide that's happening right now. Ethnic cleansing. We're just like annihilating kids. This is a war on kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's happening. This is a war on children, on babies, and Elon Musk. He just had a change of heart. Unbelievable. But then it's like. Okay, Ukraine. Yeah, we don't want babies to die over there either. But what about, you're speaking up for what's happening there. What about the babies here?
Yeah, he won't speak up because, you know, he's making the policies that do that. Mm-hmm. So if he's, you know, he's influencing the policies. He's not making the policies, but I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that, because this is very typical that we see politicians, they'll speak up. They'll say, you know, we don't support war. We don't want... people to be conscripted. We don't want people to, you know, be murdered. But they're not talking about Gaza. They're only talking about Ukraine, or they're talking about something else.
But this situation, this nightmare that's happening right now, this evil that's happening right now, it was actually a catalyst to have you look into a way of life that if Elon Musk is intelligent, this just shows like you can be so intelligent, you can make rockets go up into space. And I'm sure if he did just what you did, if he was sincere and he looked into this way of life we're going to be talking about, there's no way or doubt about it that if anyone's sincere and they're asking the Creator to guide them, they're going to come to the realization that Islam is the truth, like you did. You weren't always a Muslim.
No,
you just recently accepted Islam.
Yeah.
But you did your homework.
Of course.
Can you help us along your journey? What set it off that even had you going down that route? Because most people are scared. They're like, okay, they associate Islam with all these negative things, which are lies, distortions, mistruths. I'm sure you had to dig a lot through a lot of junk to get to the treasure.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk to us a little about that.
You know, everyone believes in God, whether their God is money or whether their God is, you know, if they worship their own desires. So people believe in something higher. You know, people nowadays, they'll call it source, or they'll call it universe, like this new kind of new age spirituality. They just kind of take little bits of everything that they think, you know, fits what they like. But in reality, when people are confronted with the truth, they're not going to accept it if it doesn't align with, you know, with their paycheck, or if it doesn't align with their, you know, if they think it's going to affect them negatively. Like in the Quran, Pharaoh, the Pharaoh, he could have accepted. He knew that Moses's message was true, but he didn't accept it because it meant he wouldn't be in control anymore. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of the same. Many of these politicians, you know, they're not dumb. They're controlling us intentionally. And so when they make these points about Muslims, it's not because Muslims are bad. It's because it is a control tactic. Mm-hmm. So when they say these kinds of things about, you know, we need to bomb all Muslims, or, you know, they're terrible, they're terrorists, they were doing this and that, you know, it comes in line with it really comes in line with the paycheck, because if they were getting paid more by the Muslims, they promote it more. Think about not too long ago, you'd hear these things about Saudi, that Saudi was so terrible and they're doing all these things and they hate women, and that they, you know, you'd hear all these things about Islam and that it's really oppressive, but then the paychecks start coming in a bit more. Now we have better relations with Saudi through the, you know, what Trump is doing. He's like kind of promoting Saudi, like, oh, they want to be our biggest trade partner. So now you hear less and less about it. Mm-hmm. And if you really try to look into it, and you hear that Islam is a religion of oppression, you know, where did you hear this from? Did you hear this from the news, or did you learn this yourself? You know, people come up with their political ideologies, and it's not really theirs. They're loaning it from somebody else. And I say that because they'll change it little by little. You know, I try to stay out of politics now, because what you hear is, it's really just the mainstream narrative. Mm-hmm. If you go to somebody now and you ask them, what do you think about Tesla cars? They might be into it if they're conservative, which it wasn't the case like just a year ago, you know, 2 years ago. Everyone's like, oh, I hate electric cars. Oh, we don't want to see electric cars. They're totally ruining our economy, this and that. But now that, you know, Elon Musk is really taking a position of power in the political scheme, then now he's one who people have changed their opinions about that. Mm-hmm. Now they're kind of like, oh, they're a little torn between it. Like, do we hate electric vehicles now, or is it okay?
You were born in Texas?
I was born in Texas. My mom moved with me to New Mexico shortly after, so I was about a year old. Mm-hmm. And in New Mexico, it's like a cultural melting pot. So there's, you know, there's Buddhists, there's Hindus. Well, not really. You know, there's people who practice like Hindu. There's a Hindu temple in my hometown, and it's really just people go there for the food. They serve people. It's called a Hanuman temple. They worship like a monkey. But they, you know, most people go there just for the food. I'm sure there are some people there that worship their, you know, their religion. And there is a mosque there, which I only found out recently after going there visiting. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few Muslims. There's literally only like 3 Muslims.
Yeah.
So, subhanAllah.
So you grew up practicing, your mother was a practicing Christian. You were trying hard to be a Christian. Is that how the story started?
No, I was not raised Christian. My mom, when she was young, she was raised Christian, but she turned away from it just because of the hypocrisy that people will say, I'm Christian, and they'll believe in all of these things like Christian values, but they don't practice them. So, you know, when you see this kind of hypocrisy, why would you say that this is the way, you know? Mm-hmm. So she turned away from Christianity. And I remember being really young. I remember specifically we were riding in a car and we were talking about it. I was maybe 4 or something. She said, you know, God is not a man in the clouds. And I remember looking out and being like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why would
God is not a man in the clouds?
Why would God be a man in the clouds? And I thought that, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't believe in God. I remember I was really young when I was like, no. And I was kind of influenced like that. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And then when I was really young, I started having these bad nightmares all the time. I would have terrible nightmares because, you know, I feel like I didn't have that protection. And I would have this one reoccurring nightmare all the time where it was, long story short, there was like a creature and it would come in, and it was the same nightmare all the time. And I had like bad nightmares, all like different nightmares throughout my entire childhood. And this one specific one was reoccurring throughout years. And then the one time I didn't have it, it was my mom was there and I was protecting her. And then I never had it again. And subhanAllah, that's very recently I didn't have nightmares after I became Muslim. So, you know, I'm 26 now. And what it was I was having a dream like that. And when I got scared, I just said, I started reciting Quran. I said, like, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then I woke up. And I haven't had nightmares since, almost a year. You know, so something that had affected me my whole life, like depression and these kinds of things, has gone away with Islam. Islam, like, cleared that in me. You know, I had struggled with feeling suicidal for a long period of my life, you know, since right about puberty until just maybe, it was like maybe coronavirus. And that was like very intense for everybody. I'm sure everybody feels that way. Mm-hmm. But after that, I'd started doing these like breath work, you know, like taking deep breaths and like trying to, I was like, okay, I got to heal myself. I got to do something.
Some Wim Hof?
Yeah, exactly.
So you heard of Wim Hof?
Yeah. I used to do Wim Hof all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd sit outside like hours a day. So I got used to that, like kind of like what we do in prayer, like obviously not the same, but focusing. You know, it gave me clarity of mind and that helped. But then it's like started not really helping. I started getting more anxious and I just didn't find that time. So when I lost my daughter right after birth. And so I tried praying to Jesus. And what happened was I started hearing those whispers again. And it was terrible. I had terrible nightmares. And I was like screaming in my sleep. And you ask people and I was like messed up. And a lot of people thought that it was you know, if you ask my family, they would say like they were worried about me, you know. And of course, like you go through a traumatic experience like that, things are going to affect you and affect other people. And then after that, I was like, I just felt betrayed, because you think that when you pray to Jesus, you're going to have some kind of saving, but it didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. And so instead what happened was I turned away from that and I started going into what is like occultism. And so, you know, they say astrology, and if you're born a Leo, then you'll be charismatic and you'll be all this. Oh, but not if you have that, you know. It's literally, so they say 12, like there's 12 signs in the zodiac, and then they put every single aspect of the everything in those. So then when they say, oh, well, you're like this because of this, it's like, well, of course, if you put every aspect of anybody's personality into 12, and then you have one of all of those, like you're going to find some sort of, oh, well, you're charismatic. Well, see, it says that here in your chart. So then I sort of took that on. But really what it gave me was like a little bit of OCD, because you start to feel like, oh, well, I'm doing this, and it's because I'm like this, and it's because I'm like this, and I'm feeling that way because my Mars is in this way, or I have bad communication. And it's just all junk. Like when after Islam, you realize like you don't need any of that. And tying that back to the video was Gaza. When all of this started happening in Gaza, one thing that stuck out to me was they say Allah is sufficient with us. And I was like, wow, you know, I believed in God. Like I always believed in God in a way. I didn't think he was like a man in the clouds. But you believe in like a creator. You just know. Like it's our fitrah, it's our innate, you know, disposition as human beings. And so with that, I just was like, wow, okay, you don't need saints. You don't need to go to like a saint to bless your field or whatever it is. You know, you just need to go straight to God and it's straight to the source. And that was really what stuck out to me about Islam, was that the straightforwardness about it. You know, nobody wants to go to some guy and say, look, I did all of these things in my life. Like I hurt these people and I did these things. And you know, that's not what Islam tells you to do. Islam tells you that if you have anything, you just go straight to Allah and you ask Allah for repentance. And so what got me into, what made me become Muslim, it was pretty much that what made me start searching into Islam. But what made me become Muslim was after about 5-6 months looking into Islam, and I wanted to become Muslim. I had memorized the Shahada, but I never said it, because once you say the Shahada, then you know you're Muslim. And I was like, I want to, you know, I don't want to say the Shahada and then, you know, do some shirk, and then, you know, you started off on a bag foot. That's like how I felt at the mm-hmm. time. But you know, repenting, like feeling genuine remorse for what you did in the past, whatever it may be. And then you turn to Allah, you turn to your creator for that, and you say, you know, I feel terrible about what I did, but I want to change. And then, you know, guide me. And so, you know, I just started like bursting into tears, and you feel like, you just feel this weight off your shoulders. And I mean, I'm getting emotional talking about it now because subhanAllah, it was like night and day. You know, Islam changed me in so many ways. SubhanAllah. I mean, if you talk to anybody who knew me before, they'd say, wow, he's like totally different. I mean, I used to cuss all the time. I used to, you know, I'd like smoke, and I wouldn't drink, but I was just into like bad stuff. I was going down a bad path. I felt like I was doing good. You know, when you're on that path, you're kind of blind. And so you think that you are going in a direction which is good for you. And even, you know, my ex-girlfriend, people like this, I would say, no, what I'm doing is good. You know, I'm doing it good for me. But I wasn't good for anybody else. I had bad relationships with my parents. I had, you know, not the best relationship with anybody. And I was totally a loner. I would go out into the woods with my dog, and we'd just go camping. And that was like what gave me peace. So subhanAllah, and Islam turned me around like 360, like 180 degrees. You know, I just totally started having community. And that was one big thing, was like I felt like I had nobody. And then all of a sudden now I have friends. And I didn't know a single Muslim before I became Muslim. And the first Muslim I met was a good brother at the masjid, and he met me. I went there to pick up a copy of the Quran. And so when I got there, he was like, you know, busy because it's a school, it's the Islamic Society of St. Petersburg. So it's like a school and a mosque. It's the only school in Pinellas County that is Islamic. Mm. And so I went there, he's like doing stuff. And I told him, I'm here to pick up a Quran. And he was like, oh, okay. He thought maybe I was just interested. And so he brings me in, he's like, you're interested in Islam? I was like, actually, I took my Shahada last night. And he's like, oh, mashallah, and just brought me in. And it was like the openness of seeing that. And I was like, wow, because, you know, I'd been like kind of looking into Islam. I wouldn't say researching, but like watching lots of videos. And like, I knew that Muslims were on the right path, you know, with everything. Islam has answers to everything. And I knew that they were on the right path, but I didn't realize like the akhlaq, the mannerisms of Muslims, and how they just, you know, like I just met you, and we're brothers. And you meet anybody, you meet anyone, it doesn't matter what skin color you are. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, in any other society in the world, you'll never get black, white, Asian, you know, anybody, like people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, people from places like Gambia, Nigeria, North Africa. And we're all standing together with our feet together. Everyone is just brothers. It is the most beautiful thing. I think sociologists should really study Islam more, because there's nowhere in the world where you get these kind of diversity.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you deal with the opponents out there, just as we're trying to send this positive message and show the impact that Islam has on people's lives, how it's brought you right now? I'm seeing how emotional you're just talking about your life before and how it is now, the tremendous positive effect. But then you have the opponents of Islam who insult. You know, they're not really talking about having an academic discussion, asking sincere questions. We're really ready to talk. Let's have a discussion. Come to a mosque. We're always inviting people. But I'm sure you come across, because the hate industry is a $1 billion industry. So as much as with our tiny, you know, little production, we're putting positive things out there and we're trying to, you know, counter this, but then you have other people who, with this big budgets, and they're putting, you know, so much material, so much hate out there, misinformation, misquoting things, you know, half truths. I'm sure you came across certain things.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Of course. Okay. How did you deal with that? So, how did you balance it out? How did you balance it out, and what got you through all that?
You got to have like a thick skin. You know, if you want to become Muslim, you don't know much. People want to tell you all kinds of things, even if you're born Muslim, because people are gonna. They're going to come at Islam and say, oh, you know, Islam is terrorism. And Islam teaches you to kill everyone, and they want to create a Sharia state. So, and they want to take over the world, you know?
Okay, your experience. Okay, good.
Oh, absolutely. I know people who say, like, oh, you're brainwashed. You're part of them. You think you're part of a Muslim brotherhood? And it's like, of course. SubhanAllah. I mean, but if you want to change somebody, you're not going to be able to change them. You're not going to come to somebody and say, you have all of these preconceptions about Islam, you should change them, because you're going to do that about anything. You want to talk to somebody about being conservative, or they're, you know, you're coming at somebody and you're trying to say, you think this way, you should change. Even if they, it's better for them, they're not going to do it. They're going to hold on to what they have because it's scary to change. I mean, it really is. I mean, I was open to it, to become Muslim, because I was already searching. I was like searching for everything, like anything I could find, I'd incorporate into my like spirituality, you know? Like in America now, it's a hodgepodge, like you say, of just any kind of different, you know, you take a little bit from here, a little bit from Buddhism, a little bit from this, yeah, and you try to make something that you can work with, but it's just leaves you empty. But Islam has an answer for everything. Anything you want, Islam has an answer for it.
It didn't leave you empty.
No, it gave me peace. And I, wallahi, for the first time in, since I was a little kid, I feel like I have, like, myself. Like, I feel like I am just at peace. And I'm not worried about things, you know, because with Islam, it brings that assurity of everything in your life.
You were reciting something. Can you continue on finishing this opening chapter of the Quran, the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah? Can you finish that?
Inshallah. We start with seeking refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan. So we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most gracious and merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises to God, the Lord of worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most merciful and gracious. Maliki yawmiddin, the master of the day of judgment. So in Islam, there's only one God. You know, Jesus isn't going to come back and tell you you're going to hell, you're going to what's good. Only God. All the angels, everything else, and there's no barrier between you and Allah. He is the master. You don't have a, you may have, you know, somebody who is your boss, and they tell you what to do, but they have a boss. There's no boss besides Allah. There's no master besides Allah. So when we recite this prayer every day, five times a day, you know, most Muslims will pray more than five times. You know, if you do the base, then that's good. But most Muslims will pray, you know, at least more than like six, seven, eight, you know, mm-hmm, prayers a day. Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. In you we worship, and in you we ask for help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, lead us on the straight path. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim ghayru maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. The path of those who you bestowed favor upon, and not of those who have incurred your wrath or those who have been led astray.
MashaAllah, this is powerful. This is, anybody wants guidance,
SubhanAllah,
this is the formula right there. To you can say it in English. You're asking the Creator alone for guidance. Guide me on the straight way. The master, the one who is going to judge you on a day of judgment, the one that Jesus prayed to.
Of course.
How's your relationship now with Jesus?
Oh, I mean, before I was like, oh, Jesus, who's that? You know, I was like, it was a little weird to me that you'd walk into a church and you'd see this statue of a man, like, dead, and that people were asking him for something. It was, I didn't even know that that Christians thought that Jesus was God until after I became Muslim. I had no idea that Christians thought Jesus was God until after I had become Muslim. And now I'm like, what? Like, I knew about the Trinity, but I thought that there was like, you know, always his son, like metaphorically, which is like probably what it was, the translations, because, you know, in the Bible, God is referring to David as his only begotten son. So it seemed to me as to be some kind of, you know, like a metaphorical, like, you're my son, you're my prophet. Like, if you talk to somebody and you say, like, oh, my brother, it's not like you and me, we don't have the same mom, but you're my brother, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a similar kind of thing. But now with Islam, like, I love Jesus more than, you know, I would say more than anybody I know. I love Jesus so much, and I love Prophet Muhammad so much, and Ibrahim so much, because you hear these stories and you hear how their connection with Allah, it was so much greater than ours. Like, we have a very, very low level of iman compared to the prophets, of course. So SubhanAllah, I mean, when you hear the stories about them and the stories about the Sahaba that come later, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the companions of, you know, all the prophets before them. Mm-hmm. It brings you that, it's like a boost in faith. It tells you, like, wow, like, I could try more. You know, you think your life is going in a way that you don't want it to, or you feel like you're, like, down in the dumps. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all the prophets went through the hardest challenges. If Allah loves you, he puts you through a harder challenge. There's nobody who gets a challenge that they can't. You know, that Allah says that there's no challenge upon a slave of Allah that can't deal with what is being brought upon them.
And you're named after Salman al-Farisi.
Yes, yes.
So Salman, and if you can share for our audience, I mean, he has a very amazing story. Just looking at his story, if you're a truth seeker, a Christian, or you're just somebody who was into this new age spiritualism, astrology, and all these other things that you were experimenting with and didn't bring no solace and peace and happiness until you came to this way of life, that now if you look at his story, he was someone who's also Christian, and he was jumping around, right? Seeking the truth.
Yeah, well, he was a Zoroastrian.
Yeah.
And so he was in this, you know, they worship fire. And then when he was kept until he was very old, like, you know, and it's maybe just right before he became a teen, or a little bit after, until he actually left and his dad tells him to go take care of his garden. Mm-hmm. So he gets lost on the way and he goes into a church. Mm-hmm. And so when he goes into the church, he's like, wow. And he just, I mean, I don't know the whole hadith, the whole story, mm-hmm. but he goes back and he tells his father, their religion is better than ours. And his father doesn't respond like, you know, a father should. He chains him up and he says, you're not leaving. And, you know, kind of like shames him for that. And so then he's in correspondence with these Christians. And so he eventually, you know, he gets away. I'm not sure if they release him or he escapes, but he gets away. And so then they say, he follows like a great man. I'm not sure if this is in the same city anyway, but he follows a great Christian leader, and then he dies and he's replaced. And then this leader is, they said, oh, to follow him. And when he follows him, he's like the worst of the worst. He'd take people's charity and hide it. So when this guy that he was following died, he was like his apprentice, his servant. He followed him. When he died, people were praising him and saying this and that about him, that he was, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest. And Salman tells him, do you know what he did? He did this and that, and he would take your money and keep it back here. And at first they were like, they didn't believe him. They wanted to kill Salman. And then after he was done taking them and showing them what he had did, they left him out and the vultures ate him. And so then Salman goes all over, you know, they say, well, afterwards, after this person is dead, they replace him. And he says, that first person, there was never a man who was worse than him. And then after that, there was never a man who I knew other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was better than him. So his teacher gets old and he passes. He goes, finds another teacher, and he says, there's only one person I know who's on this religion, and he's this person, in, you know, in maybe Syria or somewhere. I don't remember so well. Maybe I should learn more, but he goes to the next teacher. When he passes, he says, go to this person. And then when he passes, he says, there's no one on this religion that I know besides this other person. Eventually, he gets brought into slavery. And then he is taken, and he hears about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, not, he hears that there will be a prophet to come. And he hears about the signs that he won't accept charity, that he won't eat from charity, and that he will not, that he'll have the sign of prophethood on his back. So when he sees the Prophet Muhammad after these years of slavery, and he sees him and he thinks he's going to be the prophet, but he has to know these signs. Then when he sees the signs, he immediately accepts Islam. So he was a truth seeker his whole life. He was Zoroastrian. When he saw Christianity, it was better. And then when he saw Islam, it was better. But at that time, Christianity, what he was upon was the religion of Jesus, which was Islam. Hmm. And that's something that Christians, they don't realize, is that Islam means to submit your will to God alone. Mm-hmm. And then a Muslim is one who submits his will to God. So was Jesus a Christian? A Christian, does Jesus follow Jesus, or does Jesus follow God alone? Jesus mm-hmm. was a Muslim.
Jesus was a Muslim.
Jesus was a Muslim.
Absolutely. Because a Muslim is what you just said. And he did that action of submitting to the will of God. And that action, in one word, is Islam.
Of course.
And the one who does Islam is a Muslim.
Yes,
just people can't wrap their minds around it, but that's the reality.
Right. Just like Jesus's mother, who is the greatest woman, that as Muslims we believe that Mary is the greatest of all women, and she submitted her will to God alone, mm-hmm. and so did all the other prophets. You know, Prophet Moses, mm-hmm. Ibrahim, Abraham, all the way back to the time of Adam. There were so many prophets sent, and every single one was sent with the same message of Tawheed, that you believe in one God and one God alone.
Mm-hmm. Was Abraham a human being?
Yes, of course. Yes. Abraham was a prophet of God.
He was a human, right? But that term human wasn't there, so people get confused. Like, how Muslim, okay, same thing, the definition, a human. Jesus was a human.
Right.
Muslim submitter to God. That's what it absolutely is. So you make that example, the contrast. This is what it is, that concept of submitting your will to the will of God. Christian is not somebody who submits his will. You can say that's what they do, but by definition, Christian comes from the Greek word Christos, which comes from Messiah, to be anointed. That's why how you trace the lineage of the word. So This is named after Jesus.
SubhanAllah.
The same way Judaism, named after Judea, tribe, and Hinduism, a geographical location.
Right.
So we're not Mohammedans.
No, we're not Quranists.
So we're people who submit their will to the will of God, and that's what a Muslim is.
Of course.
And this New Age spiritualism, I mean, people are kind of going away from, you see so many people are coming to Islam, and there's this misnotion and a lot of these false things that are put out there. Oh, Islam is growing because of they're having more babies and kids. Yeah, right. Muslims are having...
just like families, everybody else has kids.
Kids, yeah. But you're a living testimony right now that people are investigating, truth seekers. If they're calling on God alone and they're looking for the truth, they're going to come to this way of life that you came upon, that you're actually reciting the Quran. You're not an Arab. I'm not an Arab.
Right.
You're an American, Texan, born in Texas, but you're somebody now who's following the way of Jesus and Moses as a Muslim. So that dispels just in one shot so many of these misconceptions and myths. But I think... And that one, that why Islam is growing, because it makes sense. The proof is just self-evident. When you look at it, the Quran, when you evaluate with a sincere heart and you're not trying to be malicious and you have this ill intent, you're going to see like you did that it's the truth. But when people start investigating and they go into, because they naturally go upon, you know, kind of what their culture is in, their family, you were trying to be hard, you were trying to be hard. Was that you were? It was telling me you were trying to be hard. You were trying hard to be a Christian.
I was trying. I was trying to be a Catholic.
You were trying to be
because I felt that. Like I was like, okay, this makes more sense than a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then I really understand. Like, why do you have so many saints, and you ask saints to do something for you? You ask them to pray for you. It made like a little. It kind of made sense to me at the time, but it didn't give me anything, because it's really like, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like a racial thing, that if you want to become a Catholic practicing in where I'm from, New Mexico, but you're not that, they're not going to accept you. Or if you are trying to get into like these, for example, like it's a Native American, big Native, like that's one of the places where there's pueblos, there's reservations. You can't just go in and say like, well, this seems like the truth. Can I try that? No. Same with Judaism. Like, you can't try because you're not part of us. So it's not going to happen.
More restricted, huh?
Yeah, of course. And so I had like, I was like, even at one point I was like, well, what about Judaism? Oh, no, you can't become a Jew. Like, I know you can try, and there are people who do, but I know a brother who had tried to become Jewish over the course of so long, 3 different times. Because he became Jewish, and then they were like, no, we don't accept you the next time, so you have to become Jewish again, and then, no. So it's that kind of stuff. But Islam is like, I don't have to come to you and say, do you think I'm Muslim? Is that okay? Is Allah going to accept me? Like, if you become Muslim on your own, you're Muslim. If you never meet another Muslim in your life, but you submit your will to Allah, you're Muslim. You don't need, like, to be accepted into a church or something. You don't have to go to a mosque and have them be on like a registry that you're Muslim.
And this is exactly my point. So people get turned off, they get turned away, and then they go towards all of these other man-made isms and all these man-made philosophies. This is what's on the market today. Is it this new age spiritualism? What's the trending thing out there that people are, you know, with these stones and these energy bugs and all this stuff?
Yeah, of course.
What's the
crystals? People say, oh, this crystal gives me some kind of healing, and this crystal does something good for your chakras.
Yeah.
And they're literally taken from like,
and you were experimenting with all that?
No. I was not all of it, but some of it.
You,
I was experimenting with like because there's like they call it a science of astrology, and that, so they say that your communication is affected by, you know, the planet Mars, and that Mercury, and then they say that like all these other things. But really, it's just it's a way to try to explain forces in the universe. And so when you say, I'm like this because of the way I was born, and exactly the way I was born, and I'm not going to have any luck in life because I have the, you know, it's they literally try to explain everything in your life based on this, but I didn't have any truth to it. You know, if I come to you and I say, oh, what's your sign? That's what they say. They say, what's your sign? Oh, you're like this? Oh, I can tell you about that. But if I, like, any of them, if I just tell you, oh, you're charismatic, you probably like to you're very introspective, and you're good with communication, but at the same time you like your space, you know, mm-hmm. that's so general, you can't say that that's because of the way you were born, you know. So it gave me something because it was better than nothing.
But then now you come to Islam, and now no middleman, none of these strange superstitions, these strange things going on, strange incantations and all this weird, going to saints and dead people in the ground. And
yeah, of course.
None of that.
No.
And it makes the most sense.
Of course.
Direct connection with the one who created you, no middleman, as God alone, Allah, the creator, in Aramaic, Allah, the God that Jesus worshipped. And that just, your mind's not on like, you know, gymnastic mode, trying to do mental gymnastics, trying to like, you know, now you're short circuiting because it's like, you can breathe. It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, like when you realize the truth of Islam and you turn away, like you are misguided, because if you feel that and you turn away, then Allah has put a seal on your heart. When you know that there is only one God, and you see the truth, and this is what is said in the Quran, that Allah has sealed their eyes and over their hearts and their ears. So, and over their hearts and their ears is a seal, or over their eyes is a seal, and over their hearts and their ears is a veil. You know, so it's mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Yeah,
but it's absolutely true. When you see people who, they know, they're like, oh, but I think Islam is, I think it's the truth, but I don't want to wear hijab.
Mm-hmm.
So people, they worship their desires.
So Elon Musk, he didn't have a change of heart yet, huh? We want the best for everybody out there. And what advice would you give for people like him, for him, for others who are semi on a quest, they're watching, and you got them scratching their head. They resonate with this story. They're like, I want some of that. I'm not really that void. I got Elon Musk money, but I'm not happy. I'm not content like this young man here. And, you know, all the partying and all the bling bling is not doing it for me.
Right.
What advice would you have for them?
I mean, really, like, try to seek, because if you think you have the answers, I mean, you're wrong. If you think you know everything when you are, like, you feel lost, but you think, oh, what works, it's working best for me, then you should really try to open your heart. And if you open your heart to Islam and you say, like, is this possible? Then Allah has guided you already. If you go towards Islam with an open heart and you really try to accept the message, there's no way that you're going to walk away without something good, you know. And I know people who actually they became Muslim and then they don't practice anymore because they became Muslim for the wrong reasons. They say, oh, I became Muslim because MMA guys are Muslim and I kind of want to be like them. But, you know, maybe that's like a way to get into Islam.
Yeah.
But if your foundation is that, then that's where you're going to be. But your foundation has to be, you know, you build from like the ground up. Like, there's no God but God. Okay, subhanAllah, I believe that. there is Prophet Muhammad is his messenger, and Jesus is his messenger, and Moses is, I believe that too. And then you compound upon that. You say, like, okay, well, so I can leave these things behind. I don't need alcohol because, you know, it does affect people negatively. And I also don't need it for the main reason is that Allah tells me not to do it. I don't need to eat pork. Like, you know, if you really can't become Muslim because you eat pork, like, wallahi, you're misguided. And if you, you know, you start with that foundation, it builds up, and then you have more and more faith. You know, your faith doesn't just go high and then it stays that way. It's like a roller coaster. You have to ask Allah to renew your faith all the time. You know, I go through that myself where one day, you're praying five salah, you're praying so many, you know, nafil prayers. You go back and back, and you just feel like you really have strong iman, and then the next day it plummets. And this is by the will of Allah, because Allah puts you through this, so you constantly come back to Him. There's a hadith that says that if you were not to sin, Allah would replace you with somebody who does sin and asks for repentance. Because Allah loves somebody who sins, but repents from that more than somebody who doesn't sin.
Amazing. Amazing. Simple advice. Hopefully, inshallah, people will follow it. Thank you, man. This is inshallah. A very inspiring story.
Thank you,
brother. Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to bless you, preserve you.
Ameen.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Go to thedeanshow.com to read this book. We gave you a glimpse of the first chapter. I'll give it to you for free. My gift to you, the verbatim word of God Almighty. Allah, look at it as a potential book from the Creator. We know it's from the Creator, but you look at it as a potential book. If somebody told you, look, your long lost love was looking for you. Somebody, you know, your father, your mother, you hadn't seen, and is writing you a letter. It's a gift for you. Look at this book sincerely, not with any malicious, evil intent. Look at it sincerely. Like, is this, and then asking the Creator to guide you and read the book, and you'll see it's in, I'm giving it to you for free. Go to thedeanshow.com. Subscribe if you haven't already. That notification bell. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.